All right, so Lord, I just, I know that sometimes when I am doing a bunch of stuff and then I try to get quiet, that maybe my mind wants to, but my body is still kind of like energetic. So we just want to pause for a second. We want to also lift up anyone who's sick in whatever way, anyone who's feeling down. Any family members or friends that are on our hearts and minds, we just entrust them to you. We ask that you would bless Breck and Kathy as they're visiting family and traveling home. Help us to be truly grateful people. Help us to cultivate thankfulness in our lives. And just speak to us this morning, Lord. In your name, amen. So this is the second of perhaps six talks on the values of Oak Street Church. And I say perhaps six because this one probably should have been two, and I just crammed it all into one. And so maybe in the future I won't do that. This faith community, Oak Street, has existed for more than 40 years. I'm not sure exactly how many years, but more than 40. And the values that we're discussing have come out of years of experience, years of relationship, and years of faithful commitment to look for God in this place, right? And I believe that most of the values we're discussing were acknowledged early in Oak Street's existence. But I also suspect that the depth and breadth of those values, what they mean, has expanded over the years, because that's what happens, right? Some of what motivates me the most now didn't matter to me 10 years ago, or not in the same way. So maybe when I was younger, I would like appreciate, oh, like that mountain's really beautiful. And so I'd like, if something was beautiful in nature, I'd appreciate it. And now I try to see nature as beautiful. That's just like personally me, right? I try to see the things around me for like what they are, complex and wonderful and really intricate. And that's a shift in my values. And I liked the idea of loving people growing up, because I was always taught you got to love people. But now I think I have a better idea of what that means, and I hope to have an even better idea later on, right? So that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean when I say that Oak Street's values have maybe gotten deeper and wider. Because we, as students of the love of God, we have to know that our understanding of that love will only get bigger with study. And that if you're standing on the beach, the ocean seems pretty big, but the ocean seems a lot bigger. It doesn't change in actual size, but it seems a lot bigger when you're on a boat and you can't see the land, right? As you go further in. And maybe from a submarine, the ocean seems even bigger still, and maybe even scarier because it could crush you this time, right? It's like it's this big thing. The love of God, as we experience it more, our understanding of its size, of its reach increases. So Oak Street has probably always valued community, Bible, service, worship, transformation, and justice. But hopefully today they mean more to us than ever. Because the kingdom of Jesus is coming bit by bit, but it's always on the way. And I'm sure that some of you guys are going to relate to this, but I feel like I owe Breck and Kathy and Steve and Mary and Otto and Joyce, and anyone who came before me at Oak Street, a real debt of gratitude. Because when I was pretty burned out on church, as I'd known it, and when I felt like I knew what church was, but felt really alone and thinking that there maybe was supposed to be more, like God brought me to this place, right? A place that had been focusing on these values and developing them for decades, right? So today, we're going to talk about Oak Street's value of the Bible. Is Lorianne here? You did such a great job reading last time. Do you want to read this value too, if you're comfortable? I was like struck. I should have asked in advance. You can be like Oak Street's orator.
Um, We value and study the scripture because, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, exposing our flaws, correcting our mistakes, and training us in God's character and ways so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. While we share much unity in the inspired word of God, we also respect the believer's responsibility to interpret the scripture through the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the interpretations may sometimes differ. 1 John 2:27 through 28.
Thank you very much, Lori-Ann. There's a lot in there, and we're going to kind of look at it. Last November, we had an elders kind of retreat thing, and we considered adding something to this value, which is that Oak Street believes we individually have a duty to study on our own. Because we have unprecedented access to the Bible, right? Everyone has a Bible, right? If you don't have a Bible, we can give you a Bible. We got there's stacks of them. They're everywhere, right? And some people I know, my brother-in-law, he collects them. He just does. He's got probably 12 Bibles. So we have a ton of them. Also, we have the internet, and you can read the Bible on the internet for free in whatever translation you want to, anytime, okay? So we have unprecedented access, and we are filled with the Spirit of God, right? And there's scriptures about how the Spirit helps us interpret, helps us know God, right? So we have that combo. And then on top of that, we belong to a community that is committed to difficult conversations and that values a multitude of voices and opinions. So nobody should feel unqualified, right? There's we have this tendency to think, oh, someone goes to Bible school and they study for a long time, so they get it, I don't get it. Well, they maybe get part of it, but they don't get it like you get it, right? Because we all kind of bring our piece. That's why we have to come together as a group. I could go study the Bible alone in a cave somewhere, and I would agree with the whole group of me that's in the cave. But as soon as somebody else came in, it would become a more complicated issue because maybe someone would read it different. But that's a beautiful thing, right? And this is a safe place to have an opinion and to be in relationship. In 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul says to Timothy, after giving him some instruction, he says, "The Lord will give you understanding in everything." So that's the attitude we need to have. God's going to give us understanding. Are we always going to know exactly 100%? Probably not. It's a mysterious thing. The world's mysterious. But if we need to know something, we have to trust that we will know it and that we can discuss it together. So I was raised to love the Bible, and I do love it. And I also have a lot of baggage about the way that the Bible can be used and even idolized. I think that the Bible can be misused to oppress or guilt or manipulate or mislead. And I think this is also a reason for us to study individually, right? With humility and diligence, right? Sometimes, in the churches I grew up in, the Bible is revered to the point of godhood. It's just another member of the Trinity. And I think that's an abuse, right? Because if you get a letter from someone you love, is that letter that person? No, but the letter tells you something about that person, right? So we should respect the Bible, but not worship the Bible. We worship the Word, not this Word. And I was taught to take the Bible seriously, and I'm really thankful for that. Because it kind of allowed me to push past things that I was taught that maybe weren't so good, while still kind of in that same way. I was taught to take it seriously, and then I was told things about the Bible that didn't make sense, and then because I took it seriously, I could just look at it rather than taking someone else's word. Right? So what is the Bible? It's a way that we come to know God. And it's certainly not the only way. I think that we see the character of God in nature. I think that we see the character of God in each other, right? In the way that kids interact with the world, in the way that new parents kind of have this crazy transformation. Like when they have a kid, there's just like this like shift. All my friends are having babies, so I'm seeing it a lot. There's just this like this thing that happens, and they're all of a sudden like they no longer live for themselves, for good and for bad. You know, they're like they're not going to sleep anymore, but like it doesn't matter. You know, I think we see something of the nature of God in that. I think we see something of the nature of God in the wisdom and forgiveness that we can come to have over time, right? As we have more experience, as we learn that it's better to forgive than to hold on to something. As we learn that it's not enough to know something, we have to apply it. That's wisdom, right? We know it and we apply it. There's something of the nature of God in that. And I think especially that we see God's creative nature in our own creativity, in our own desire to make things and to make things really well, to do a good job, and how we get a lot of satisfaction from doing something, right? There's something that makes you feel kind of happy when you bake something or you paint something or you fix something around the house. It's satisfying. I think that lets us know something about the character of God because we are made in the image of God, right? And I suggest that perhaps the first way we know God is actually through another person, right? Maybe through a parent, maybe through a neighbor or a friend, someone who just loves you for you, unexpectedly out of the blue, and you don't know where it's coming from. But it's good. It's like a good thing. It feels really nice. And then maybe later, you get to know them better, or you know, you see that there's more people like that, and you see that there's a root, and that the root of that is God, right? So this love comes out of God. So maybe we know it from a person, and then later we can go to the Bible and say, oh, that same guy's there, still connecting. And so I think this is why the Bible is so important. Because it's a revelation, and I don't mean that in like a weird way. It's just like a letter from God, right? God saying, I want you to know me. Here's a way. It's a way that we can measure our other experiences, right? So maybe someone who I really respect here says something to me, maybe even with a good intention, and later I'm at home and I'm like, wow, I feel really crummy about that. Well, I can look at the Bible. I can say, well, actually, God really likes me. So whatever that person said that made me feel unliked, I don't think that's actually true. You know? It's a thing, it's like a yardstick. It's like, I actually thought about just bringing in a tape measure and just having people guess various lengths in here, right? I was going to say, this is exactly 16 feet from chair to chair. You guys probably didn't know that. And then maybe some of you would take my word for it, and then I'd pull out a tape measure, and you'd find out that that was just a guess. I have no idea how far that is, right? So that's what this is. This is like a measure. It's like, how do we know how God feels about us? Well, this is the first place, right? This is like a place that we can come back to. And there's consistency here, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't meet God in silence and in prayer or in encouragement from someone else or just on a walk somewhere, right? We have to always be ready for God just to connect with us. But then if we have questions or doubts about that, we can come back and reflect a little. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens." This is the part that I want to highlight. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, or when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So the Bible is where we get familiar with the voice of Jesus, right? It's where we can hear like directly, okay, Jesus said this. Jesus really loves poor people. Jesus really loves marginalized people. Jesus really felt that women shouldn't be oppressed by the men in their culture, right? I've sometimes wondered if Jesus maybe could have come as a woman if the culture could have accepted it, because he already came poor and ugly. So, but maybe that was like too far. Maybe the Jews would have been like, no, there's no way that God would come as a woman. But Jesus, you know, he really just gets down with the lowest and the most excluded. And we know that because it's written here. And so then we know that if someone is caring about the poor and caring about people who are vulnerable, well, they're probably doing the work of Jesus. And we know that because we've heard that voice before. That's a familiar sound. That's another reason to study, to be familiar. Do I even know what God sounds like? Well, here's a way to know. And here I think we need to make an important note that the Bible is not meant only to be studied. It's meant to be applied, right? Because growing up, I thought, well, if I memorize all these verses, because I go to Awana, and then if I go to all these Bible studies and I know all the answers and my hand's always up and I'm ready to go, then I'm doing great at being a Christian. But in the end, I'm just pretty puffed up. I'm pretty cocky, right? And maybe I don't know anything about God. I just have all the right answers, right? The difference between memorizing a textbook and then actually doing the job you're training for. They're worlds apart. So the Bible is not meant just to be studied. It's meant to be applied. And here I'm going to read four verses. And I don't think I told Donna to put them up there. So Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There you go. Luke 11, 28. Verse 27, actually. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, freedom, grace, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It's a theme. It's a theme all throughout that this isn't just a book to study and know really well. It's a book to study and actually have it apply to your life. And it comes in increments, and it comes in different ways for different people because we all have different stuff we're dealing with. But that's the point. Like, that's what, why do we read the Bible? That's the point of the Bible, right? We meet God, and that should have an impact on how we are. So at Oak Street, we treasure the Bible, because it reveals Jesus to us. And it's a resource for what churches and communities can be. It gives examples and instructions for healthy relationships of all different kinds. It can bring conviction and encouragement thanks to the partnership we have with the Spirit of God, right? And this is kind of the second part of this written value, we can hold different beliefs and interpretations of the Bible and still exist in unity. Now, that might be comfortable now, but in a lot of places that would be very controversial to say, right? Because you got to believe the right thing. And if you don't believe, well, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, you probably don't have a place here, right? We can exist in unity. The verse that's cited at the end of that value is 1 John 2, 27 and 28. And this just talks about our individual anointing. So the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So there's the idea that, and this is something that really gave me pause when I was considering, do I want to be a pastor? Is I don't want to be like an upside down pyramid. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, I'm just like responsible for everyone's knowledge of God. Oh, okay. Because sometimes I can't even be responsible for my knowledge of God. Sometimes I'm just like, where yet? I don't know. But if we all recognize that we all, to some extent, are pastoral, we all have gifts, we all have no need to be taught by anyone else other than God directly, right? Then we can come together and be united. And even if we disagree, we can trust the Holy Spirit, we can trust God, and we can trust each other that we're being honest, that we can be kind, even in that differing opinion. And I want to say that we can even be friends, united in Christ, with churches and believers who would consider that unity to be impossible, right? Because there are some churches in town who probably would disagree with what I just said. And I know that there are Christians, maybe even some of my own relatives would say, no, that's impossible. I can still be united with them, right? I think Paul said something about, like, so far as it's like your responsibility to be at peace with everyone. And we can do that because we trust the Holy Spirit to guide us, because we exist in relationship with a loving but mysterious God. And we know God, right? But we don't always know how he works. And the Bible isn't a magic answering book. And sometimes it leaves us with more questions than answers. And when some of faith, I think, is just being comfortable with, like, mystery. Like I said, I was trying to cram a lot of stuff in here. I want to make a note about a longer passage in Acts that you can check out on your own later. Acts 17. Pretty much 10 through the end of the chapter. I think this gives a good example of how the Bible can be used in varying ways. So Paul, I'll just give us a synopsis. Paul and Silas go to Thessalonica at the start of chapter 17. They go in, and Paul, because he's a Jew, goes to the synagogue. And because these people all have the Old Testament, he can use that to talk to them about Jesus and show that Jesus is the promised Messiah coming out of that, right? So he does that everywhere he goes. So he goes there, he's doing it, and some of the Jews who are in charge are just like, nope, we're not having it. And they get a mob and they chase him out of town. So Paul flees. Next, he goes to Berea. And in Berea, he does the exact same thing. But in this place, rather than getting angry at what they hear, they say, well, let's do our own studying. And I think that's an example for us. They're like described as being more noble than the people at the other town because they take the time to look for themselves, to study on their own. But then the people from the town before come and do the same thing. They get a huge mob and they run him out of town again. So now Paul goes to Athens, okay? And he's in Athens, and it seems like there's not really a synagogue or a real, like, big Jewish community here. And so Paul doesn't go and say, everyone, I got this thing called the Bible, and I need you to listen to me because it's the best book ever, and I'm going to tell you some stuff. He walks around. He observes what they have, and he's invited to talk. And so I'm going to read verse 22 on. So Paul, and he's at a place called the Areopagus. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship is as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us. And here, Paul doesn't quote the Old Testament. Here, Paul quotes a couple poets that these people would be familiar with. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. And then he goes on to say, and so since we're God's offspring, like, and since you already kind of know this, God has revealed himself to you after all this time. It's like good news, right? It's this thing that's been promised that you didn't even know you were waiting for. I think that chapter is a great example of the role of the Bible for us, right? Individually, we're familiar with it. Read it. It's a gift. And if someone comes in here, well, we're going to be reading it, right? It's a gift. And we're going to make it accessible. We're going to try not to use language that makes everyone feel like, what is this? Or how come I feel like I'm not educated enough for this? Or how come I feel like you have to go to like a special class to even know these words? Like, we don't want to do that. But maybe when we're out there, we take the ideas of the Bible and we discuss them. But we also engage with what other people are thinking, with what our friends are talking about, maybe what our friends are reading or watching. Say, oh, yeah, I watched that. I had a question about this, or I had a question about that. Just a natural conversation, not like a gimmick, not like a car salesman, just like a real person, like a real nice person having a conversation, right? And because if someone knows you, they're going to know you read the Bible. They're going to know you go to church. And they might ask about, oh, what does Jesus say about this? And maybe you don't know. Well, there's something to study. Maybe you do know. You can share it with them and discuss it, see what they think about it, right? You can invite them to study on their own. So I just encourage you, if you're, just look at Acts chapter 17 if you want to like think more about that. We don't use the Bible to manipulate, we use it to connect. And I think a lot of what we value is common ground with people who don't share maybe any of our beliefs, right? Because what do we try and value? We try and value people and hospitality. Who doesn't love hospitality, right? We try to value love. If someone's not down with that, I don't know who they are, right? I mean, it's pretty common. And that's a blessing. That's a gift. We are connected there, right? And so we don't want to drive people away. We want to find that common ground. Maybe they don't know the source of that. It really comes from the heart of God. So I have a couple questions. I try to end with a couple questions usually. And I hope this covers most all of us here. So have you studied the Bible for years? Thank you. And welcome to Oak Street Church. We really need your knowledge. It's a good thing. I love talking with Dan usually after I preach. Dan and I will talk during the week just casually. And he always has something to say because Dan has studied a lot. Right? Craig studied a lot. I love talking with Craig. Joyce loves the Bible. And I know that because she tells me that she loves the Bible. And then she backs it up by showing me something that's relevant, something that she's read that made her think of something we were talking about. Have you never even cracked open a Bible? Thanks, and welcome to Oak Street Church. Because we need some fresh eyes, and we need some fresh questions. And maybe we need somebody to push back on some of our own assumptions we've gathered from studying for too long or studying in the wrong way, right? We need that fresh angle. Have people used the Bible to bring you guilt or shame instead of life and hope? Welcome, and let's learn about God in light of the gospel. Because we read the Bible not from the beginning to the end, but we read it really from the middle out, right? From Jesus, we look back at the Old Testament and see the plan of God for redemption. And from Jesus, we look forward to the church and how that is a organization, an organism really, not an organization, that comes out of him, comes out of his life. It's a new thing. It's a different thing. And it's his kingdom being realized here and now in tiny, unglorious ways that like actually bring us a lot of joy. Have you misused the Bible? Have you been a Bible thumper? Maybe. I don't know. Welcome. And be free of that. Like, get rid of it. Let go of a need to control or explain everything, and with us, put your trust in God. You can relax, right? You don't have to have everything for you. You don't have to have an answer for everything. You don't have to have every issue like pinned down. Life's complicated and a little mysterious, and you can be here and just kind of wonder and ask questions, right? And still be a complete person. I think that Colossians chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 gives us a good example of what our time together should be like. And I want to read it kind of as a, I think the term's a benediction, like the ending thing. So just receive this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're going to take communion now. Danielle and Sam, do you guys want to be the communion people?